This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, November 24th, 2023. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, a special program on the UN Climate Change Conference COP28, the Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour. The UN Climate Change Conference COP28 will be held in the United Arab Emirates from November 30th to December 12th, 2023. It is in many ways a follow-up to COP21, which produced the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. The agreement was adopted by 196 countries and entered into force in November 2016. Its main goal is to limit the world's temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. To understand the importance of COP28 for trade unions, I talked to Jeremy Anderson. Mr. Anderson is the Director of Just Transition and Sustainable Transport for the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF has about 20 million workers in 149 countries. I asked Mr. Anderson why labor unions should participate in the conference and why it is relevant to workers.
That's a good question, Mark, and something that I often get, because in many ways COP global meeting can seem a long way from workplace issues. But there are two reasons why I think it's really important that trade unions engage in the COP. And the first one is that COP is fundamentally about government making binding agreements on climate action. And many of these agreements ultimately will have impact on the workplace. Whether that is about the actions around reducing emissions and the sorts of technologies that will be rolled out on workplaces, or the actions that need to be taken, harmful impacts of climate change. So, for example, heat stress, which has been a big topic in many workplaces around the world this year. And so ultimately, the decisions that are made at COP flow back down to plans and policies that governments adopt at the national level, and ultimately these have impact on the workplace. Yeah, COP is not natural territory for workers' influence. The global trade union movement has had some very important victories in the past. In particular, I'm thinking about getting Just Transition for Workers included in the 2015 Paris Agreement. But it's something that requires constant vigilance. Yeah, the reason we go to COP every year is that, we need to constantly remind government and make sure that they understand, because the other side of this is that as much as we make sure that our workers are protected, we know that we won't have effective climate action without the full engagement of the billions of workers around the world. So workers are co-designers of climate action, and this is the point that you need to continue to remind government of. But there's a second reason why it's important to go to COP, and I'm thinking of this in particular, from the perspective of transport workers, which is COP is now perhaps the most important global meeting place for the key decision makers in the global transport industry. So this is employers, but it's multinational companies or global employer federations, government ministers to go to COP, or the big multilateral development bank, like the World Bank. So they all go there for different reasons. The one thing that they all have in common is that COP, they want to be seen to be taking action on climate. And our job in the trade union movement is to hold them accountable, make sure that everything they're doing around COP has a strong working dimension and recognizes the importance of involving workers.
The conference has a number of agenda items that the labor movement has identified as important. I just want to get a sense of how you're going to react to these items. The first one is global stocktake, which I assume means taking stock of what's happening globally. What's the agenda item of global stocktake about?
The global stocktake is related to the 2015 Paris Agreement, when all countries said, we agreed to limit global temperature rises to 1.5 degrees, because that has been the key tipping point before we go into irreversible damage to the climate. And but what countries agreed to do in Paris is that they would individually come up with their own plan for how they would contribute to reducing greenhouse emissions and stopping the world going over this 1.5 barrier. So every country submits their own national climate plan to the COP and has its own three-letter acronym. At COP, it's called a Nationally Determined Contribution, or NDC. And what the Global Stocktake is doing is it's collecting all those NDCs, it's over 300, and seeing what they add up to. Now, it's no great mystery that even before they started this process nearly 2 years ago, that the current batch of NDCs, or National Climate Plans, are nowhere near enough, nowhere ambitious enough to deal with the climate challenge. But what's happening with the Global Stocktake is that there will be an agreed conclusion about what countries need to do next. And so as the trade union, we have been campaigning around this for the last 18 months, because there's a couple of things we think is really important. The first thing is we want strong language on a just transition for working. And this would mean, if we get this, that every union in the world can say to their government, you need to put something around the bulk of workers in your national climate plan. And the second thing we want is making sure that we come up with particular plans for each industry. So for ourselves in the ITF, we want to see particular commitments around the transport industry. This should apply to all industries, manufacturing, building, healthcare, and so on. So those are the two key things we want out of the Global Stocktake, the key decision that's going to be made.
Another item that the labor movement wants to talk about is the new collective quantified goal. Let me repeat that. The new collective quantified goal. What does that mean?
Otherwise known as the NCQD. So this is the new agreement on global climate finance. And what is accepted at the COP and in the UN Convention on Climate Change is that the countries with historic responsibility for creating all the emissions that have got us into this mess that we're in today, so this is countries like the US, Europe, Australia and New Zealand, they have the responsibility to finance countries like Pakistan or Uganda or the Cook Islands that have not made any significant contribution to global warming historically.
You can hear the full 20-minute interview with Mr. Anderson on the Radio Labor website. Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of the ongoing push by unions around the world to have ILO Convention 190, which addresses workplace harassment and violence, ratified. Other top stories this week include the decision by Irish public sector unions to bargain a short-term agreement that focuses on wages as a way of addressing the cost of living crisis, how the abuse of migrant workers in the United Arab Emirates is linked to climate harm, and the build-up to today's Black Friday walkouts across Europe as Amazon workers take on the world's biggest retailer. A random sample from our news pages includes articles about the reaction of Argentinian unions to the election of a far-right president there, young workers organizing efforts in Indonesia, and how the United States Auto Workers Union plans on turning their bargaining gains into organizing wins for currently non-union workers. On our Working Women news page, you'll find stories about the struggles of Scottish women firefighters who are demanding proper changing rooms and toilet facilities at work, how professional footballers are organizing for gender equality in all sports, and many stories about the lives of Bangladeshi garment workers and why they are risking their lives in the fight for a living wage. And from Ireland, we carried a story about a massage parlor worker who won a large compensation package after her employer demanded sexual services from her. Stories appearing on our health and safety page in Newswire this week include the apparently never-ending struggle for safe schools in South Africa, a challenge you'll see highlighted in many countries around the world, a memorial in London for the 53 media workers killed in Gaza to date, and a review of the Qatar World Cup and its impact on migrant workers' rights there and in future global sports championships. Our current photo of the week comes to us from Uruguay, where metal workers recently celebrated the reduction of their work week from 48 to 46 hours. Reducing the work week is a priority for unions in Uruguay and is seen as a work-life balance issue as well as a way to reduce unemployment. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Australia's Victorian Trade Union Choir with You Knew, Grandpa, You Knew.
Now global warming isn't new. The years you wasted were too plenty. You left the problem up to who? You knew our world would be in trouble as your emissions grew and grew. You said it's only froth and bubble, but did you really have a clue? You knew, Grandpa, you knew, Grandpa, so tell me, what did you do?
Tell me what you do.
You knew, Grandma, you knew,
Grandma,
so tell me, what did you do? Now hear a song from 2030. We hope it's getting through to you. Why did your power stay so dirty? How come you didn't just renew? You left the CO2 above us while you just flew and flew and flew. You chose a funny way to love us, to leave a greenhouse warming brew. You knew, Grandpa, you knew,
Grandpa,
so tell me, what did you do?
Tell me what you do.
You knew, Grandma, you knew,
Grandma,
so tell me, what did you do? Now hear a song from 2040. Sit up and listen to our view that you were selfish and were naughty to leave a world in such a stew. You knew the temperature was rising. You hoped that it might stop at
two.
It's more, and so it's not surprising that we can put the blame on you. You knew, Grandpa, you knew,
Grandpa,
so tell me, what did you do?
Tell me what you do.
You knew, Grandma, you knew,
Grandma,
so tell me, what did you do? You knew clean coal was not the future, clean gas an oxymoron too. You had a lovely life to suit ya, and never wanted to say, whoa! You knew you really couldn't hack it to make the change when it was due. And now it's gonna cost a packet to fix what you neglected to. You knew, Grandpa, you knew,
Grandpa,
so tell me, what did you do?
Tell me what you do.
You knew, Grandpa, you knew,
Grandpa,
so tell me, what did you do?
And that's it. Labor news you can use. You can listen to our newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. The site also features English as an additional language lesson for trade unionists. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.